This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. Now, I try and keep these stories fairly light as a rule. I could fill this podcast every week several times over with shipwrecks, drownings and other maritime tragedies, but I prefer to focus on good human stories where I can. There is, after all, enough doom and gloom in the world as it is, without me piling on just more misery. But that wouldn't really be giving you the whole picture. The coasts around our islands are littered with the legacy of tragedy. You'd be hard-pressed to find a single sea-adjacent town or village in Britain and Ireland that doesn't have a memorial to people lost at sea. And they're just the start of it. On top of the disasters, there are the individual tragedies. The ones that pass us by, remembered only by those directly connected to them. And sometimes, nobody at all. Beyond a brief notice in a local newspaper. The sea is ruthless. It takes some people by chance, others by design. Each one, and it's impossible to even estimate how many thousands, millions there have been over the years, is somebody's story. Some get told, some are forgotten. Others remain a mystery. It's important to remember them, as well as the dreadful events on a scale that embeds them into the story of a place and the story of the sea. So this week, instead of a story with a happy ending, here are some examples of another kind of ending, without story. The only narrative here is being washed up by the sea. No heroic rescues, no leaving a mark on the maritime history of these islands. Just endings. Brief notices, recorded, then forgotten. A litany of endings. Fifth of October, 1839. On Monday last, a dead body, apparently that of a seaman, was found washed up on the seashore near Maryport. He was about 5 feet 4 inches in height, of middle age, and had on a blue cloth jacket and trousers, flannel vest, a fancy striped shirt, and Wellington boots. A shilling and some halfpence were found in his pocket, also a short pipe, and an address card, with the words, Martin, 34 Blundell Street, Liverpool. Should this meet the eye of any of his relatives, it will be some consolation to learn that after a coroner's inquest was held, his remains were decently interred in St. Mary's Chapel, Maryport. Second of January, 1920. While Mr. David Ross, Nelson Street, was walking at Lucky Scalp, Tayport, he discovered the body of a man which had been washed up by the sea. On the police being informed and investigations carried out, it was found that the body was that of discharged soldier Private James Murray, number 221638 Royal Labour Company, and that he resided for some time in Rose's Home, Dundee. He was 42 years of age. From his ration card, it would appear he had his last sugar ration on the 16th of November and received his last pension payment on the 26th of November. Up to the present time, the police have been unable to trace any friends. September 29th, 1893. The Hastings coroner held an inquest on Tuesday on the body of a well-dressed man who had been found on the shore, washed up by the sea, at the east end of the town. deceased had only been dead a short time. On the body, a pawn ticket was found, showing that a suit of clothes had been pledged with Davis, Catherine Street, Strand, in the name of John Dawson, 100, Strand, on September the 20th. In the corner of a pocket handkerchief was the name J. Doe Smith. Deceased was about 30 years old, 5 feet 6 inches in height, and had light brown hair. He wore a dark grey suit and patent leather boots. December 23rd, 1926. A card bearing the name of F.W. Cartwright and an address at Leicester was found on the clothing of a man washed up by the sea at Black Rock, Brighton. The police have communicated with Leicester, and it is understood that the man is Mr. F.W. Cartwright, a bootmaker of Welford Road, Leicester, who left that place for the South Coast at the beginning of the week. The man's description issued by the police is aged about 50, height 5 feet 6 inches, well built, ruddy complexion, clean shaven, round face, dark curly hair. He was dressed in a dark blue suit. A watch in the pocket had stopped at 1:25, and from appearances, the body had been in the water about 2 days. February 9th, 1931. The mystery of the disappearance on New Year's Day of Mrs. Elsie Tarrant, a widow, aged 37, who had been living for some years with Mr. and Mrs. Gilbert of Penrith Road, Boscombe, Bournemouth, has been solved by the discovery of a body on Sunday on the sands at Boscombe, where it was washed up by the sea. Mrs. Tarrant, who was the daughter of Mrs. Wykes of Wilburtree Road, Leicester, had suffered from depression at times. She returned home from a New Year party in the early hours of New Year's Day and was missed soon after 8 o'clock the same morning. A few days afterwards, Mrs. Tarrant's coat and shoes were found on the beach at Southbourne. August 17th, 1940. An inquest on the body of an unknown man washed up on Dewey Shore, Downings, during the week was held by Dr. W. N. Walker, Deputy Coroner, Dewey. Hugh McCafferty said that with the assistance of Mr. McFadden and others, he pulled the body onto the shore. There was nothing on the body to identify it. The coroner returned a verdict that the deceased, an unknown man, came by his death in the sea and the probable cause was drowning. Subsequently, the deceased's remains were interred. January 2nd, 1932. The bodies of a man and a woman were found on Brighton Beach yesterday, having apparently been washed up by the sea. The woman was later identified as Jane Wicker, of Victoria Road, Sidcup, Kent. The body of the man was found at Kemptown, about an hour after the discovery of the dead woman. The Brighton police stated last night that his identity had not been definitely established. In his pockets were found papers relating to securities totalling nearly £1,000, some medicine, and a letter of admission to a local nerve hospital. October 24th, 1838. I take the liberty to inform you that a woman was washed up on the shore at Great Clacton, Essex. She had on a pair of hose of fine quality, marked CG No. 59. A chemise, likewise of fine quality, marked CG No. 28. A nightcap and gown, gold earrings, and a ring on her finger. But I cannot inform you if it was a wedding ring. She was found by a man named White in the Coast Blockade Service at No. 6 Tower and buried at Great Clacton. No inquest was held on the body. If this meets the eye of any of her friends, then I have my reward. J.S. Burgess, St. Osyth, September the 21st, 1838. That was A Coastal Story. I'm Charlie Connolly. There are still a few tickets available for what looks likely to be my only live event this year. It's at 6:30 on Thursday the 16th of September at the Canterbury branch of Waterstones. I'll be telling a few stories from my latest book, The Channel, and also Attentional Shipping, my book visiting the areas covered by the shipping forecast. Tickets are a fiver and available from the link I'll post in the show notes, which I'll also put on the podcast Twitter account, at Podcast Coastal. That's at Podcast Coastal. And also the Facebook account. Just search there for Coastal Stories Podcast. It would be great to see you there if you happen to be at a loose end in East Kent on a Thursday night in September. Don't forget you can help keep this podcast going by donating the price of a pint at ko-fi.com/coastalstories. That's ko-fi.com/coastalstories. Again, the link will be in the show notes. I know times are tight, so if you want to show your support in another way, please just hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Give us a rating, and if you can, write us a review wherever you find your podcasts. That would be spiffing. The waves you can hear were washing ashore at Deal on the grey morning of the 27th of August, 2021.